This is Fresh Air. Dune Part 2, the second half of the blockbuster adaptation of Frank Herbert's 1965 science fiction novel, was supposed to open in theaters last fall, but was delayed because of the strikes by Hollywood writers and actors. The movie, with a cast led by Timothy Chalamet, Zendaya, and Javier Bardem, is now opening in theaters. Our film critic, Justin Chang, has this review.
Dune Part 2 picks up right where Dune Part 1 left off. It's still the year 10,191, and we're back on Arrakis, a remote desert planet with vast reserves of spice, the most coveted substance in the universe. The villains of House Harkonnen have regained control of Arrakis after defeating the benevolent leaders of House Atreides. But hope survives in the form of the young hero Paul Atreides, who has fled into the desert. Paul is played again by Timothy Chalamet, whose performance has matured alongside the character. Paul still has his boyish vulnerability, but now he may be tasked with leading a revolution. Paul has taken refuge among the Bedouin-like nomads known as the Fremen, many of whom believe he is a messiah-like figure, who, according to prophecy, will help them defeat their Harkonnen oppressors. To be accepted by the Fremen, Paul must learn their ways and pass the ultimate test by riding one of the deadly giant sandworms that continually roam the desert. In this scene, the Fremen warrior Stilgar, played with wry avuncular wit by Javier Bardem, gives Paul the device he needs to summon the worm, plus a little pep talk. He calls Paul by his adopted Fremen name, Usul, and refers to the worm as Shai Hulud.
Usul. I tune it myself. Here.
Thanks.
Don't try to impress anyone. You're brave, we all know that. Be simple, be direct. Nothing fancy.
Nothing fancy.
Hey, I'm serious. Nothing fancy or you will shame my teaching.
I won't shame you. I understand.
Shai Hulud decides today if you become Fremen, or if you die.
Paul successfully rides the worm, and it's the movie's single most thrilling sequence. One of those rare moments when you can feel the director, Denis Villeneuve, flexing every blockbuster muscle in his body. With its heightened life-or-death stakes and sometimes staggering large-scale action sequences, Dune Part 2 is certainly a more exciting and eventful journey than Dune Part 1. But even here, the high points are over too soon, and the movie quickly moves on. Villeneuve is an impressive builder of sci-fi worlds, but his storytelling is too mechanical to sustain a real sense of awe. Admittedly, there is a ton of plot to get through in Frank Herbert's original novel, a dense saga of feudal warfare and environmental decay. Paul leads a mighty Fremen insurgency against the Harkonnens, destroying their troops and disrupting their spice mining operations. Paul also occasionally clashes with his noble mother, Lady Jessica, who ushers in some of the movie's more mind-bending sequences, trippy hallucinations, spooky religious rituals, and a subplot involving a telepathic fetus that reminded me of the Star Child from 2001. Lady Jessica is played by the formidable Rebecca Ferguson, who keeps you guessing about her character's motives as she urges Paul to embrace his divine calling. But she gets fierce pushback from a Fremen warrior, Chani, with whom Paul has fallen in love. Chani, played by a terrific Zendaya, rejects the prophecy entirely and urges Paul not to buy into it. Eventually, Paul comes to the cynical realization that it doesn't matter if he's a messiah or not, so long as his followers believe he is. Villeneuve, who co-wrote the script with John Spates, shrewdly calls Paul's heroism into question, and in doing so pushes back against the common accusation that Dune is just another white savior fantasy. That said, the movie isn't as adept at handling the various influences that Herbert wove into the novel, which draws heavily on Arab culture and Muslim beliefs. As such, it's hard to watch the movie and not think about current conflicts in the Middle East, and wonder if it will have anything trenchant or meaningful to say about them. That's a lot to ask of even the smartest, gutsiest blockbuster. But Dune Part 2 doesn't rise to the occasion. It ultimately treats politics as superficially as it treats everything else. For all Villeneuve's astounding craftsmanship, there's a blankness to his filmmaking that I can't get past. Even when he's introducing a frightening Harkonnen villain played by Austin Butler, who's utterly unrecognizable here as the star of Elvis. What this Dune needed was a director with not just a massive budget and an exacting design sense, but a touch of madness in his spirit. Someone like David Lynch, who famously directed a much maligned adaptation of Dune back in 1984. That movie was a flop, but as always, box office only tells part of the story. For sheer grotesque poetry and visionary grandeur, Lynch's film still worms its way into my imagination in a way that this one never will.
Justin Chang is a film critic at The New Yorker. He reviewed Dune Part 2, now in theaters. On Monday's show, RuPaul, creator and host of the reality competition show RuPaul's Drag Race. The TV series has run for 16 seasons, for which he has won 14 Emmys. Now, RuPaul has a memoir about growing up black, poor, and queer, and how he forged a new and glamorous life in punk rock and drag. I hope you can join us. To keep up with what's on the show and get highlights of our interviews, follow us on Instagram at NPR Fresh Air. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer today is Roberta Sherlock. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham, with additional engineering support by Joyce Lieberman, Julian Hertzfeld, and Al Banks. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, Heidi Simon, Teresa Madden, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Thea Challoner, Seth Kelly, and Susan Yakundi. Our digital media producer is Molly C.V. Nesbitt. For Terry Gross and Tanya Mosley, I'm David Biancourt.